following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Congratulations, you made it to the end of the week. Finally. Oh my goodness, this week has been a whirlwind for me and personally, business-wise, show-wise, content-wise, just been crazy this week around the radio station. And so if there's anybody that's thankful that it's Friday, it is me. And I'm Jacob Goins. I'm with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. This is the Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And alongside me in the studio, back with me on this Friday afternoon, he's with me Mondays and Fridays on the show. It's your favorite uncle, Uncle T-Bone, in the studio. What's up, my man? Great to see you once again.
Good to be back in studio here at On the Line, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. ESPN Radio 106.7, Auburn Opelika. We're going to have a big day today. Today is the day, everyone. Our top 16 quarterback rankings in the SEC before y'all go to SEC Media Days. Maybe we should have waited after SEC Media Days and you got a good look at some of these quarterbacks in person and talk to them. But we're going to go ahead and have those rankings today. Talk about a lot of other stuff. But you know what? Football season pretty much is here. SEC Media Days, you and Dan head out on the road. That'll be, I mean, is this going to be like Lloyd and what's his name from Dumb and Dumber, where y'all lose the vehicle and end up on a scooter traveling across I-20 trying to get to Dallas? It sounds like this is going to be a lot of fun.
The trip itself may not be all great and nothing. It's not anything against anybody. It's a 12-hour trip, okay? It's 10 and a half hours straight through nonstop from Auburn, Alabama to Dallas, Texas. So we're basically planning for it to be a 12-hour drive. Not looking forward to that. I don't think anybody enjoys a 12-hour car ride. But what we're going for will make it worth it. We're excited to go to SEC Media Days once again. This will be another great year there at the football media event. A reminder that all of our coverage next week from Dallas is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Roots Real Estate, Wisdom Law Firm, State Farm Insurance Agent Callie Bryan Chaddock, and University Ace Hardware. Those are the local businesses and business people that are sending us to Dallas. So thank you again to those. And be sure that you show them the love as we have been all week this week, and we'll be showing love all week next week. And it's perfect timing for Media Days next week because you know what today is, don't you? In the countdown to Auburn football, we are 50 days away. We're 50 days. That's right. 50 days away until Auburn football puts foot to leather and sends this thing off into the 2024 season. Even sooner than that, Uncle T, before college football gets underway with week zero and then all the games leading into week one. So it's right around the corner. It's the middle of July. Media days this next week. We have our SEC quarterback rankings. We're going to get into that a little bit later in the show today. Probably around 2:30 is when we'll get into that, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We have two more quarterbacks to add into the mix this year Texas and Oklahoma, and man, just looking through these rankings, there's some really good quarterbacks out there. A couple of sleepers around the SEC as well.
A lot of new faces.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what the transfer portal will do. We're going to have to rank them somewhere. I forgot that one of the new faces in this league, Auburn fans got a really good look at last November from New Mexico State and Diego Pavia, when he lit us up and basically came in here to Jordan-Hare Stadium and ruined my and my son's night. We were sitting on the 50-yard line and watched it from start to finish. So he'll be in the league over at Vanderbilt. I'm not so certain, a little teaser, that I'm going to have him ranked as highly as some Auburn fans would after seeing him at New Mexico State. This is a little bit different league and animal he's going to be going in week in and week out. And I think he'd had the benefit of playing in a much, much weaker league, probably with his team with a little bit more talent than most teams since they went to the championship game in that league when he got to Auburn in November of last year compared to when Vandy gets to Auburn in November of this year. He may not even be on the field because they're not going to have a whole lot to put around him. You know, I thought about these rankings too, Jacob, and it's just not – you know, there's a lot of factors involved in it. You got to look at who's coaching them, especially offensive line and receiver have around the quarterback experience. It's not just going to be based on what these players did last year. It's really where we're kind of trying to project them to finish this year, at least a good starting point for that. So eye test, intangibles, arm strength, you know, all that talent around the person, play caller, may have an effect on it, too. A lot of new play callers in the league this year. So we'd love for you to join in. You can always call in and give us your thoughts on that. 334-321-1390 or text us at the ESPN text on the line hotline 334-784-1067.
Yep, and that's going to be the best way to get into us once we get into our rankings. Send us a text. With so many quarterbacks to get through, it will be difficult to get to the phone lines during that. And so we ask that you do text us during that time. But until then, you got about 30 minutes. Give us a call. I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. And the reason we are waiting until 2:30 is I've got to get your thoughts on this from yesterday.
Okay.
We talked about this yesterday. I talked about it with Doug Amos. I talked about it on my show. Talked about it with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. What in the world is happening in Athens, Georgia? Because, look, some people are going to let this story go away. Some people are going to let this story slip through and only be a one-day headline. But I refuse. I refuse to let it be a one-day, come-and-go, 2024 media type of headline where they run with it, they hammer you with it, and then they move on and try to find something else for clicks. I'm not going to let it get buried, Uncle T-Bone. Two more Georgia football players were arrested this week for reckless driving. Chris Gordy yesterday had an interesting take. He was more on the side of, why are we just blatantly arresting football players for this, for speeding type of things? And he took an intriguing direction here. But bottom line is, Georgia football has a car driving, car racing, reckless driving problem in Athens, Georgia.
Yeah, they've had some issues with that over the last couple of years, no doubt about it. You know, first of all, my initial thoughts is Kirby Smart's probably got about half the devil in him by now. Not that just this happened again, Jacob, but happening right before SEC Media Days, and he's going to have to roll out there to Dallas when he wants to talk about how Georgia shouldn't have been left out of the national championship playoff conversation last year, how he's got a fantastic roster coming back with Carson Beck, who very well could be a Heisman candidate at the end of this season. He's got a nasty defense and a very tough schedule to navigate, but they feel good about it, and recruiting's well, and we're on sound ground. Oh, no, no, Kirby. Oh, no, no, bowl cut coach. They're going to be firing at you left and right in person, and probably led by our good friend Doug Amos over at 107.5, because he's had a burr about this for quite some time, and this being such a safety issue, and it is. That's why people are being arrested for speeding, for overspeeding over there in Athens, because not only how many of these people are doing this without getting caught? They know it's a big problem over there. Probably looked the other way for quite some time until they couldn't do it anymore. You know, thank goodness I don't think there was alcohol involved in this one like there was with Ollie Gordon II from Oklahoma State last week, the star running back. Well, that's another story probably for today at some point.
That I haven't even talked about yet.
And Mike Gundy's careless remarks about that. But, yeah, I mean, look, I don't think at this point you just can't turn a blind eye to this racing car street racing culture that's happening in Athens, which you got to ask if that's going on and this is such a major problem and these kids or these young adults can't control themselves with their vehicles. What else is going on over there in Athens?
Yeah, it's sad, man. It really is. And again, Doug and I talked about this on his show yesterday, and him and I pretty much took a vow to go into Media Days next week when Georgia takes the podium on Tuesday morning, whether it be in the big room or whether it be in the smaller multimedia room, and if there are reporters and media members that are scared and worried about saving the image of Kirby Smart and not asking those questions, right. I promise you we will. I guarantee it. Yeah. Because I don't care. And look, I had to say this yesterday. Yeah, it has to be. That's the reason for these types of events. And I stated this yesterday, and I want to state it again. This has nothing to do with the fact that it's Georgia, the fact that it's one of Auburn's biggest rivals, okay? This is...
Has it really been a rivalry lately?
I mean, the rivalry's a stretch, I guess, but...
Yeah,
this
actually,
has
one of the teams eventually needs to win a game for it to be a rivalry.
It has everything to do with the fact that there are players and people and civilians whose lives are at stake time and time again, and there's one of the highest paid coaches in the country in college football who can't control his own program. That's what this comes down to.
The lack of discipline there, I just don't think that lack of discipline would be put up with on the field, so why is it being put up with off the field? I mean, what are we watching? The Fast and the Furious Part 72 in the streets of Athens? I mean, this movie's already been shot about 100 times, Kirby.
And the problem with this is these were two separate situations. I keep stressing that, too. One arrest was made after the 8 o'clock hour, the other one at 11 o'clock at night. And then you'll get a kick out of this.
I'd rather get arrested at 8 than 11.
I think so. They were both released on bond by a combined dollar amount of $26.
Man, the Bo Hughley, the offensive lineman, I remember Auburn recruiting him pretty heavy. $26, boy, that's really going to send. Yeah, thanks.
Sent that message,
I mean,
didn't you?
That's like a Wendy's mega deal right now.
Pretty much, and not much more.
I mean, you would think that in these inflationary times,
we can
that bond release would reflect what fast food costs do now, Jake.
I'm telling you, man. You can't even take a date for $26 now.
You barely get a martini for $26. Trust me, I know.
I was about to say, you tell it. You tell them. I don't know anything about that. 334-321-1390. This guy's got some things to say, and from a coaching perspective, he'll have some thoughts on this. Dak, what's up, brother? Great to hear from you, my man.
Hey, it's been a long time, guys. Good to hear y'all's voice.
Yes, sir. It's been a long time. Been too long, man. What's up?
Oh, nothing much, man. Just getting done with all these camps this summer and working them and taking kids to them. And so it's starting to wind down now and fix to get into four of the practice, man.
Yeah, it's about to get real, isn't it, Dak?
It sure is. And it's getting hot. Hotter. Yes. Man, I tell you, this Georgia thing, guys, it'd be interesting. I mean, it'd be easy to find out. Do we know what type of cars they were driving, guys?
I haven't seen anything.
Good point.
If there has been something released, I'll admit I haven't seen it. And so, as of right now, I don't know the answer to
Jordan,
that. But I know what you're getting at here.
Jordan Hill over at Dogs247 really has been on top of this. You know, one of our good friends is a guest who comes on weekly on Rivalry Wednesday. And he has a copy of that arrest report. I believe it's posted on an article, so I'll look for it, Dak. But look, you know, really and truly, in today's NIL world, does the car matter?
Well, it should not matter, but guys, you know, me still being in the middle of this age group, guys, and nobody, you know, wants to say it. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's a cultural thing. It's you know, how you go through these periods. You know, at one time it was the pit bull thing. You know, everybody had to have a pit bull. And you know, we can go down the line. But it's not just a Georgia problem. Every week in the AL.com, you read about Birmingham and some dozen guys getting arrested for racing downtown Birmingham. It's every other week.
You know, I saw that article and was going to bring that up, and you're right, it happens all the time. And I'd forgot that Trevor Etienne had been arrested back on March 24th. At that time, he was also, I believe, charged with driving under the influence. And Dak, somehow, those charges just kind of went away.
Yeah, they disappeared, didn't they?
Huh, wonder how that happened.
Hey, I did find, though, Dak, that in the police report, Hughley, the offensive lineman, was driving a 2017 Chrysler 300.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's, you know,
I can't,
I, It's not like that was a Dodge Charger souped up street racer. I mean, a 300's kind of a, I want to say a grandpa car a little bit, especially 2017. How much of a hot rod could that be? It just sounds like he had a little bit of the lead foot. But, you know, with all the issues they have had over there with reckless driving and whatnot with vehicles, don't you think that, you know, at this point you would maybe have some type of self-awareness to have a little bit of a governor with that lead foot?
Well, you would think that, but so far there's not been a whole lot of consequences. I mean, just slap on the wrist. Usually, you know, it seems to me like they're at the point where they need to start taking vehicles away as far as the athletic department goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just keep having this problem over and over, you know, I just know what some of the coaches I've had in the past, whether it was at Auburn or wherever, they would start – you know, mandating and start taking away keys.
That's right.
Know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, Dak, let me ask you this. As a coach, right, in today's era of college football, I talk about this in recruiting all the time. What are the two things that players care about more than anything in today's age? What are those two?
Well, playing time.
Boom.
Number one.
Playing time. And what's the other one? The obvious. The thing I talk about all the time.
NIL money.
Boom. There you go. You nailed it. Playing time and money. If you start taking those two things away from them, I guarantee they'll quit racing in the streets of Athens, Georgia.
I'll tell you, I'm with you, Jacob. I mean, I think playing time in particular is the number one factor that you can, and I've said that for years, should be the number one discipline tool by not just any coach, but really by a league that's in charge of any kind of league, right?
Right.
If you're not out there playing and showcasing your skills, you ain't going to get NIL money. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, good point.
And tie that NIL money to some performance, which includes you suiting up for every game.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you miss three from a suspension standpoint from the SEC or from the NCAA. You're not going to get paid, bud.
That's right. Absolutely. Hey, changing subject a little bit. Have y'all noticed, and this is a little thing, I probably shouldn't even bring this up, but on the Olympic commercials, you know, they never, ever have our girl on there, but they bring up every commercial is about the girl that, you know, had to drop out the year before.
Simone Biles.
What's her name? Yeah. And they just constantly, the commercials are, she's back. But who is the reigning champion?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about Suni Lee, of course, from Auburn.
Absolutely. And she's not mentioned in any of these commercials. I mean, that just blows me away.
Yeah. I haven't, I'll be honest, I haven't really noticed that. But, I mean, I get what you're coming from. I do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a petty thing. I shouldn't be that way. But you know how Auburn people, we got to gripe about something, right?
Hey, that's right. That's right. Dak, great to hear from you, my man.
Yeah, guys.
You know, Jacob, he mentions consequences for your behavior. And Trevor Etienne is obviously not going to be suspended for the first game against Clemson, right? I mean, George, that's a tough matchup. That's a team that's going to be fighting for a national championship playoff berth as well. You're going to need all hands on deck. And this kid, I forgot, he was charged with DUI. I mean, if he'd have got a DUI, there's no way Kirby Smart could play him in the first game, right?
You wouldn't think so.
But all of a sudden, it gets pleaded to no contest, to reckless driving, and guilty to underage possession of alcohol, failure to maintain lane, and a window tint violation. Meaning failure to maintain lane while you had possession of alcohol as a minor. And that means he probably swerved out of his lane. And he got arrested for suspicion of DUI, but gets to walk scot-free. What if your name's not Trevor Etienne? Do you think you're going to walk free from that charge? That's not right. And that's what that needs to be brought up to Kirby Smart as well. What are your thoughts on that, Coach? Are you going to play someone that did that? Are there going to be no consequences for him? You know what the answer is going to be. We just handle all that in-house.
Yeah, I mean,
Come on, man. It's
going to be the same coach speak answer that they all give, right? We're handling it internally. We're doing what we can to protect our player. You're going to get the same response. Go ahead and be ready for that. Whether it's me, Doug, or somebody else next week at SEC Media Days that ask Kirby Smart about this particular topic, just be ready to not get the answer that you're looking for. for, folks. I'm just going to be just straight up with you. Be ready to not get the answer that you're looking for. We got to get to our first break here in hour number one. Dak, great to hear from you, my man. Always enjoy talking to you. Been too long. Be sure you call in a little bit more now that we're getting closer to football season. We got more coming up here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7. It's the Friday edition of On the Line. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Coming up after the next break, so bottom of the hour at 2:30, we are going to start with our SEC quarterback rankings for 2024. I am excited to get into that. But, Uncle T-Bone, we're 50 days away from the start of Auburn football, the start of college football even quicker than that. And I asked Brad Law this yesterday from the Auburn Sports Network, and I want to ask you, my man, what are you most excited about this upcoming season? We're 50 days out. What's the thing that you are looking forward to this season?
Well,
it can be Auburn or college football related.
Yeah, I mean, first I'll go to Auburn. I am looking for Auburn to continue its track under Hugh Freeze to becoming a week in, week out, competitive, dangerous football program that at any moment can win a game on the road or at home. Okay, I mean, this is a proud football program, a historic top 20 football program that for the last 4 years has been horrible. It's been brutal, and the football's been sloppy, and it's not been fundamentally sound. There's been a lack of excitement, specifically at the end of Malzahn and into Harsin, that was just it was dread, and the football was dreadful. The job that Hugh Freeze has taken on is, in my lifetime, a monumental task that I equate to the one that Coach Dye had to take on. Except for the only difference is Auburn's football program was in the doldrums a lot longer before Dye got there than they were before Hugh Freeze got here. But quite frankly, Auburn football has struggled to be a consistent competitor on a national level since Nick Saban's second season. And that leads me into part two of what I'm excited about or most interested in about, and it's what's it going to be like without Nick Saban on the sidelines?
Yeah.
Because that guy was an institution. And he is like so many coaches and people and players over time in my lifetime that I did not like. I despise Steve Spurrier as a perfect example of this. And by the end of their tenure, not only did I respect him, I liked him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to miss seeing him on the sidelines. Look, he brought out the worst in Auburn, but he brought out the best in Auburn, too.
Auburn played their, historically, the best games that Auburn has ever played. Most of them are in the Iron Bowl with Nick Saban.
I mean, just look at it.
Yeah.
And Auburn competed. Auburn knows what it takes to compete against Alabama, I think, more so than any other football program, because Auburn has to do it every day, 24/7, 365. Mm-hmm. And it's a task that wears Auburn out over time. It's a lot to ask. But if you look, especially if just a couple of balls bounce the right way or a couple of defensive pressures may have occurred, Auburn's record against Nick Saban is as good as anybody's at his stay at Alabama. So I am looking forward to seeing what it's going to be like. And I'm also looking forward to seeing what it's going to be like with him in the media. I understand he's going to be at SEC Media Days, I think, doing some work for the SEC Network.
Mm-hmm.
Is this just going to turn into the weekly Saban tirade and preaching about the woes of college football? Because I hope not. You know, I think he's going to offer up a lot to the average fan like me that doesn't quite understand what it takes to compete and to call plays. Is he going to be fair? Is his criticism going to be fair against Alabama and Kalen DeBoer when he makes mistakes? And he's going to make mistakes. And I'm also interested to see what it's going to be like for Alabama fans when Kalen DeBoer fails. Because he is going to fail occasionally, and no one is perfect. We saw what it was like at the end of Saban's tenure. Is it going to be even worse? And what if they stumble early?
Yeah, which, I mean, something is very possible that could happen, right? With the Saban thing, man, if he can keep his personal woes and his personal opinions out of the state of college football and just show us the inside of his brain for half a second, Oh, my gosh. The entertainment factor is going to be awesome. Yeah.
And I think that he has enough personality to make it come across to where it's not just like this robot coach talking to you. It's going to be must-see television. But if he goes in, week out, complaining, moaning, and griping about NIL and why he had to leave football and why he dislikes it, I'm out.
Yep, me too. Well, good thing is we're off of that subject, and we're going to talk about our SEC quarterback rankings for 2024. That's coming up next.
Are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
All right, we're halfway through hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. He is Uncle T-Bone with me on a gorgeous day here in the Auburn Opelika area. Well, we've teased it enough, Uncle T-Bone. I guess it's time that we get into this thing. I'm really, really looking forward to this. We are getting into our 2024 SEC quarterback rankings. It's something that I've done for a couple of years now, ever since I've been on this show, and it's a lot of fun, man. It really, really is, and we want to hear from you. We want to get your quarterback rankings, whether you agree or disagree, and I'm going to shut the phone lines down because it's going to be hard for us to get to those right now with so many quarterbacks to get through, but you can send us a text, all right? You can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. That's 334-784-1067. We want to hear your quarterback thoughts around the SEC. All right. Now, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but just to sort of remind everybody, this is our quarterback rankings based off of a lot. Okay. This is based off of what we saw a year ago, whether that's at their current school or a different school. This is the system they're playing in, the coaches they have, the playmakers they have around them. Like, there's a lot of factors that go into this, Uncle T-Bone. And I can't wait. We haven't seen each other's list. This is live on the air, talking about our SEC quarterback rankings. And it's no longer 14. We now have 16 quarterbacks that we need to rank this season. And so let's not waste any more time. Let's get into this thing. We'll start from the bottom and work our way up. And look, there's a lot of people that when you start talking about the bottom of a ranking, they're bored, they tune out, they're not excited about it. But there could be some differentiating opinions here with the bottom of the SEC quarterback rankings. And I'll just go ahead and start it off. At number 16, moving up, okay, number 16, I have Lenore Sellers, the South Carolina starting quarterback. Why? Because I'm just not impressed with him. And the room itself is just not all that great. Do you remember who the backup quarterback is over there?
That'd be one Robbie Ashford.
Yes, it would. And so,
not impressed.
We know what a quarterback room looks like when he's around the program. And so, I'm putting South Carolina Sellers at the bottom in the cellar of the SEC quarterback rankings.
I'm going to take 6'6", transfer from Boise State, Talen Green to Arkansas is my number 16.
Okay.
Bottom of the barrel, scraping it where we can, quarterback. And it's not necessarily because I think the kid's not very good. He only did go for 57% in 2023, 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He did have 436 yards rushing with 9 touchdowns rushing. He almost had as many rushing touchdowns as throwing touchdowns at Boise in a league that's, I mean, let's just be real, isn't even close to the type of caliber of competition he will see week in, week out against the SEC. Mm-hmm. He does have Bobby Petrino coming in to help him. I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse, to be honest with you. I mean, Bobby Petrino is one heck of an offensive mind, and historically someone that Auburn fans have a tremendous amount of respect for. Okay, but I'm not so certain that Petrino's offense is truly morphed into what today's offense is. I hate to say this. I think it's a little behind the times. I think it's got way too much West Coast, I don't know, Gulf Coast still involved with it, too much tight end with it, reliance with it. And Arkansas is not going to have the weapons. And everybody's like, Uncle T, I mean, they did really well at A&M at times last year, not against good competition, but against bad competition, they lit it up. He will not have the weapons, Bobby Petrino, to put around a quarterback that he had at Texas A&M last year. I've got Talen Green, your dead last quarterback in the SEC for 2024.
Well, I don't have him much better. I got him at 15. I've got Lenore Sellers at 16 from South Carolina. I got Talen Green at 15 from Arkansas. And my big concern is the offensive line at Arkansas. They have not been able to hold back a toddler for years. And it's going to be the same way this year. And here's the bigger problem. This young man in Talen Green is a Boise State transfer. You said that. But he's got Sam Pittman's jobs riding on his shoulders. That's the big problem I have here, because how can Sam Pittman survive another atrocious year in Fayetteville? I don't think he will. I'm surprised he survived a year ago. I just don't have confidence in Talen Green. I've got him at 15 in my SEC quarterback.
You know, it's a real shame, too, because I like Sam Pittman. I think all of college football likes Sam Pittman. I'd love to have played for a coach like Sam Pittman. I mean, he's just a great guy, and he's got a lot of self-deprecating humor, and I think he's a dang good coach. But that's just almost an impossible situation up at Arkansas, especially with Texas and Oklahoma coming in. I mean, their schedule's not very easy. They open up with Pine Bluff at Oklahoma State, L. UAB is going to give them all they want. Then they come to Auburn. Then they go to Texas A&M, Tennessee, and here comes Murders Row, right? The SEC Murders Row. So I'm with you on that. I hate to say it. I wonder if Sam Pittman will even see the end of the season. And I hope for Talen Green's sake, health-wise, that he does as well.
Well, who do you have at 15 in your
Brock
quarterback
Brock Vandergriff, the transfer from Georgia. Okay. I mean, what's he ever done? He's been the most highly touted transfer in, I mean, backup quarterback, it seems like, for like 15 years in the SEC that's ever existed. I mean, this guy's been like the Steve DeBerg backup forever over there. I mean, he's like 38 years old and getting his 15th Masters somewhere, and he's finally getting to start at Kentucky. And let's just be real honest, solid football program, Jacob. They don't really light it up offensively.
Well, I think Butch Hanman's going to change that a little bit, the offensive coordinator there in Lexington. I think the offense is going to be faster paced. I think it's going to be a little bit more up-tempo there in Lexington. And I have Brock Vandergriff higher. You have him at what? You put him at 15?
Yeah, 15.
Wow, okay.
I mean, let me see something out of this kid. What has he actually ever done? By the time that he's gotten into Georgia games, I've long since changed the channel to something more competitive. I don't know if I've ever seen him throw a live pass.
Yeah, well, that's part of my issue, I guess, is I am buying into it and hoping that, in terms of my rankings, I'm predicting that it will play out for Mr. Brock Vandergriff. I got him a little bit higher, so I'll keep that one for a later time. Here at number 14, all right, at the 14th spot, I have Diego Pavio, the Vanderbilt quarterback. And if that name sounds familiar, it should. His name was called quite a bit last year when he came to Jordan-Hare Stadium and helped New Mexico State beat Auburn in one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen inside of those walls at Jordan-Hare. Now, this guy's a really good player. He's very athletic. He can throw it on a dime. He can run all over the place. The guy can play quarterback. Yes. But let's not be blinded about where he's playing quarterback this year. I think he was in a better situation at New Mexico State than what he's at Vanderbilt this year.
I agree with that.
I put him at 14 based off of pure, raw talent. I feel bad for the guy, man. I bought into Vandy last year. I ain't doing it this year. I got Diego Pavio at 14.
I will say this. I probably would take their over-under, take the over on wins. Because
what's it at?
It's like something 3.5.
It's something stupid.
Surely they can win 4 games, but I don't know. It is Vanderbilt. Side note question before I give you my 14, Jacob. Would you rather have Diego Pavia starting for you right now at Auburn or Peyton Thorne?
At Auburn? Peyton Thorne.
Okay, I think I would too. My number 14 ranking is Blake Shapen. He'll be the starting quarterback at Mississippi State, transferring in from Baylor. Yeah, the kid threw for a lot of yards and had a 61% passing percentage last year at Baylor. 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, over 2,000 yards. Had a little bit of a knee injury there, Jacob, and injuries play a part in this.
I think he had a concussion at some point, too, did he not?
He's been hurt a couple of times. And, you know, durability matters, especially in this league. Once you've been injured as a quarterback – Uncle T-Bone has always said you're five times more likely to get injured again instead of being injured for that first time.
Yeah, that's fair.
Blake Shapen, a new coach. Jeff Lebby, I think he's getting way too much love. The former Oklahoma offensive coordinator in Mississippi State is going to be brutal this year.
And you have him at 14?
Yes, sir.
Well, I've got him at 13, so we'll continue on in our rankings because with Blake Shapen, I just don't know what you're getting if you're Mississippi State. Again, you talk about the injuries. He's had some highs, but he's had some lows, and he's with a new head coach in Jeff Lebby that, let's be real, what does Mississippi State have? What are they going to be able to do in terms of competing in the SEC this season? And I just don't know. I don't have any confidence. That's my issue. I have no confidence in Mississippi State, who plays at Arizona State this year. They'll open up SEC play welcoming Florida down at the Swamp. They have to go to Austin, to Athens. They welcome A&M and Arkansas. They go to Knoxville.
L.
And they go to Oxford.
L.
So, plus Missouri has to come to town.
LL Cool J. That's might as well be a rap video.
I see 1, 2, 3... 4, 5, 6. I mean, I see 6 losses already for Mississippi State, and that doesn't include the Florida and Arizona State games. So, I don't know. My confidence level, just not very high. I've got Blake Shapen, the Mississippi State quarterback, at number 13.
I'm going to put your guy, Lenoris Sellers, the quarterback for South Carolina here, and I think I got him ranked a little too high. The only reason he's got any respect for me is I've got a good friend of mine who used to be a kicker at South Carolina, is on the broadcast team on the sidelines, played a little golf with him this spring, and he said, Uncle T, watch out for my man Lenoris Sellers. He's got a massive arm and is going to be a difference maker. He better be, because South Carolina, and I'm going to tell you right now, this is what I call the Will Muschamp effect for any team not named Georgia, because they reload all the times. Mm-hmm. When Muschamp is somewhere for some time, they get a ridiculous amount of talent on the defensive side, and after a couple of years when he leaves, they're unable to reload that type of talent. The guy can recruit, not the best head coach in the world, a great coordinator, a wonderful recruiter, and you're starting and beginning to see USC kind of fall off, and the coach is going to, Shane Beamer is going to be fighting for his life.
Well, that's the problem. Is South Carolina a year ago, I mean, they had to score 40 points to beat anybody. That was the issue. And remember, they couldn't, I mean, they couldn't get it done. And so, you've got Lenoris Sellers there at 13, a guy that you had in your bottom tier, Brock Vandergriff. I have him at 12 from Kentucky. And I said it before, I'll say it again. I'm buying into it. I'm banking on him working out at Kentucky. I think he just got lost in the commotion at Georgia, and a quarterback room that was really, really good, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at what Georgia's done the last few years. And so I think between Mark Stoops and that offensive staff there, I think they're going to be okay. I think he will be good. Will he be a Heisman front runner? No. But I do think Vandergriff is better than he's getting credit for. I like Butch Hamden as his offensive coordinator. I think Vandergriff will be the 12th best quarterback in the SEC this season.
I'm going to go ahead and put Vandy quarterback and former New Mexico State quarterback Diego Pavia here in the 12th spot. Good to see that Diego's 1-0 against Auburn last season, while Vandy was 0-1.
Barely.
That game got a little bit tighter than it should have. I look to see Vanderbilt just being completely brutal this season. They're going to open up with Virginia Tech. That's an L. They get Alcorn State. And then probably the make or break game for Vanderbilt in whether or not they're going to go over 3.5 wins or not this season is hosting Georgia State on September 14th. Auburn fans know better to sleep on Georgia State. They get a lot of talent, and Auburn got a really good wide receiver transfer from Georgia State this year. If Vanderbilt cannot win this game, Diego Pavia might not even be the starter by the end of the season.
Man. All right, so here's 16 through 12 for me. Again, working bottom to the top. I have Lenoris Sellers from South Carolina, Taylen Green from Arkansas, Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt at 14, Blake Shapen from Mississippi State at 13, and Brock Vandergriff from Kentucky at 12.
I'll take from 16 to 12. Talon Green, Arkansas, Brutal, Brock Brutal Vandergriff at 15th. Blake Brutal Shapin from Mississippi State at 14. Lenora Sellers and Diego Pavia. You know I'm Auburn fan. You love them, and you're going to love to see them on the turf at Jordan-Hare in November with Vanderbilt this season at 12.
We continue our quarterback rankings for the SEC and wrap up hour number one. This carries into hour number two, so stick with us. We're doing SEC quarterback rankings here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up the first hour here on the Friday edition of On the Line, we continue with our SEC quarterback rankings. Again, give us a text. We want to hear, or I guess shoot us a text. There you go. We want to hear from you and your SEC quarterback rankings, whether you agree or disagree with us as we are cruising through here in our quarterback rankings. We'll get through a couple of more before we get into hour number two. And again, we got the phone line shut down for now, just difficult as we're running through rankings. Can't get to the phones as much as we want to, so shoot us a text, 334-784-1067. Let's see if we can get 11, 10, 9, and 8 through in the next 5 minutes, Uncle T-Bone. My number 11, and this is going to be low for some, but I don't know why the guy's getting as much love as he is. Give me Graham Mertz at Florida at number 11. I'm just not sold. The guy stinks. The guy's not good, and Florida's going to be a bad team this year. Billy Napier's going to be fired from Gainesville, and Graham Mertz is an average quarterback at best.
Yeah, I'm going to have to fade that pick. He's about all they got down there. I'm going to go with number 11, which is probably going to be low for some people, too. Connor Wegman from Texas A&M.
11?
I mean, this guy is so injury-prone. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
I don't really know what kind of offense Mike Elko's going to run. I know Riley Leonard did.
Riley Leonard from Mobile, Uncle T-Bone at Duke. We tried to recruit him back here. He's a good player.
Yeah, okay, whatever. It's Duke and it's the ACC. Until Wegman can get through an entire season, you know, wake me up when that happens. I just don't think he's that great. I think he's often injury prone. I don't think he's got that great of an arm. I think that Texas A&M's offense is going to be very conservative this first season under Mike Elko as they go under transition. And I have to see some of these weapons step up out of the ones that transferred out from Jimbo Fisher and Bobby Petrino. So give me the Wegman, the Wegger.
Wow. Wow.
Broken arm and all.
That's crazy. Connor Wegman at 11. Okay. All right. That's fine. I have Graham Mertz at 11. Here's where it starts to get a little juicy. All right. At number 10, who do you got? I want your number 10 first, Uncle T-Bone. Who do you have?
I got Jackson Arnold at 10 from Oklahoma.
Okay.
I think that there's still a lot to prove there. Oklahoma's schedule this season is absolutely brutal. They lost their offensive coordinator to Mississippi State to become the head football coach. They got to replace that entire offensive line, which they did in the portal. They better have gotten all there in the spring and started gelling. Look, what you've got to just plug in one or two guys into an offensive line, it can mess up the continuity of an offensive line. You got all five that are brand new.
Yeah, that's tough.
And I know OU's got a history of putting up a lot of points, but you know, Lincoln Riley and Bob Stoops and Josh Heupel, they're not walking through that door.
And you're not playing Oklahoma State and Baylor anymore. I mean,
you're
playing
the NFL.
Well, speaking of Jackson Arnold, I'll go ahead and give you that. I have him at 9, so we're not too far off there. It's because I have Peyton Thorne at 10.
Oh, gosh.
I have Peyton Thorne from Auburn at number 10, and I put him towards the back end of the middle of the pack. And it's because of how last year ended. It's because of the question mark, the massive cloud that hangs over Peyton Thorne walking into this season. Can he be good? Absolutely. Could he be a top 6 or 7 quarterback in the SEC? I agree. I think so. Absolutely, no doubt about it. But in no way, shape, or form can you tell me right now, going into this season, compared to the other quarterbacks around this league, that Peyton Thorne is top 10 and is going to be something special. Given what we've seen already, no, I can't buy into that just yet. I may eat my words, and he may be good towards the end, but to start the season, I got to see something from Peyton Thorne. And thankfully for Auburn, the schedule will allow him to do that.
Yeah, I'm going to get my thoughts on him because I have him bumped up a little bit higher than you do. I have at 9 Garrett Nussmeier from LSU. Threw for 59 in his career so far, 59% passer, 1,720 yards, 11 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Listen, LSU's always going to have talent. I mean, yeah, I said it in the Uncle T-Bone top 20 over there at Radio Free Auburn, a few things you can count on with LSU. They're always going to have gumbo at the tailgates. They're always going to scream tiger meat at you as you walk into the stadium. There's going to be some old Cajun grandmother looking to fight you after and before the game.
Yeah.
And they're always going to have a ton of talent. But their top two weapons, along with Jaden Daniels on the outside, Jacob, both drafted in the first round. That's asking a lot to reload. Brian Kelly's one heck of a coach, but I think Garrett Nussmeier's a year away.
Well, I think that's why he's going to be a really good player, is because Brian Kelly is a fantastic head coach, and they're still going to have dudes. There's no doubt about it. If you haven't noticed what LSU's been doing, go take a look at the players and the coaching staff that they have down in Baton Rouge. I had Peyton Thorne at 10. I told you I had Jackson Arnold at the 9 spot at Oklahoma. That schedule's just so tough, man. It's just brutal. It really is. And so for them, for Oklahoma, it's nothing against Jackson Arnold. I think he'll be fine. I just think they can't get through that schedule. So I've got him at 9. That'll allow us to get through the other half coming up in hour 2.
Yep, I'm going to have 11, Connor Wegman. I don't think he's just too injury-prone for me to bet on. Didn't even see October of last season. Jackson Arnold at 10, a lot to prove for OU, like you said, and Garrett Nussmeier, the young man from LSU at 9. I'm going to have to be in see-it-to-believe-it mode, and you had to watch Jaden Daniels scramble for his life last year a lot of times, and Nussmeier doesn't quite have that capability.
We'll get into the top half of our SEC quarterback rankings coming up in hour number 2. Here on ESPN 106.7 and ESPNAU.com, don't you dare go anywhere.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Friday, July 12th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Alongside me in the studio is Uncle T-Bone. If you missed any of hour number 1 as we get underway here in hour number 2, you can go and catch up with the podcast after the show today. You can find that on our station website at ESPNAU.com. In hour number 1, we caught up on some news around college football, talked a little bit more about how Georgia football can't control their players and how they just allow them to speed around Athens time and time again. We also talked about the 50-day mark is upon us before Auburn football gets going in Jordan-Hare Stadium. So talked about that a little bit, and then we are now halfway through our SEC quarterback rankings for the 2024 season, and we continue with that here, Uncle T-Bone, in hour number 2. Phone lines shut down for now, but you can give us a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. Give us your SEC quarterback rankings, ones that you agree with, ones you disagree with, who's too high, who's too low. We would love to get your thoughts on that. Believe we are halfway through. Is that right? We made it through 9. We went 16 through 9. And now it's time to go 8 through 1. And so who do you have, Uncle T-Bone, as the 8th best quarterback in the SEC going in to the 2024 season?
That's going to be Auburn starting quarterback Peyton Thorne. I've got him at 8. If you look at him statistically, just throwing the ball from last year, he would have to be way, way further down. 61%, 1,755 yards, 16 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. That's not going to work this season. Mm-mm. But, you know, he was throwing to wide receivers that probably wouldn't start over at Lafette High School last year. You know, that he's not getting near enough credit for what he does running the ball. The play calling at times last season was atrocious. What was that guy's name? Montgomery, that was calling the plays last year. I can't even remember his name. Mm-hmm. He was like the former head coach from Tulsa. It's just a bad situation. He transferred in, missed spring. The guy's been in the program now for almost 2 years. Hugh Freeze and and Derek Nix are going to take over play calling. They're going to be all on the same page. There's way more weapons around, including Cam Coleman, including Perry Thompson, and a host of other wide receivers that were recruited and were transferred in. The offensive line's going to be much better. The running back room's going to continue to be a stable mainstay at Auburn. The defense is going to be much better. It's just a way better situation, and I think that we're going to see a much improved quarterback at Auburn this year, and if we don't, then it's going to be a major problem.
For reference, I had, and we're not going to go through all the ones we've done already. You can go back and listen to the podcast later today. But I did have Peyton Thorne at number 10, just for reference. And it comes down to a see it to believe it situation. There's a lot of these guys that fall into that category. Yeah, there's a lot to prove. There's also a lot riding on this season. But you start talking about what's around Peyton Thorne, and yeah, there's a lot to achieve this year. And the ceiling is high, is what I'm trying to say with Peyton Thorne. Hugh Freeze has shown his confidence in him, and so
yes.
And there's a lot of fans that have, but there's a lot of fans that I feel are like me, where it's see it to believe it mode with Peyton Thorne. You have him at number 9. I have, or you have him at number 8. I have, and man, I'm gonna try and say this, and I'm gonna say it one time. Tennessee's quarterback, his first name is Nico. I got that part. And apologies, I haven't been able to hear how this name is properly pronounced. Iamaleava, I think, is how you say that. We're going to go with Nico just to keep it easy.
Iamaleava.
Sure, yeah.
Iamaleava.
Yeah, yeah. Nico.
Well, you got him at 8. I'm going to Iamaleava him at number 7. That's going where I'm going to leave him, right there.
Well, I've got him at 8. I think he's uber talented. They say he can throw at 100 yards.
Yeah.
And he's just one of those young freshman quarterbacks coming into Tennessee that's got all the hype in the world. And Uncle T-Bone and I have bought into this so many times.
Oh,
I've bought into young quarterbacks and talented and Tennessee and yada, yada, yada. I ain't doing it. Yeah, I ain't doing it. He's middle of the pack. He's got all the talent. He's got everything to prove, everything to lose. I'll put him right there in the middle. I'll put him at number 8, the Tennessee quarterback, my man, Nico.
He's got some weapons on the outside. Like I said, I've got him at 7 right there, close to where you have him. He's got a heck of an arm. But you know what? Randy Johnson had a heck of arms. You want him playing quarterback for you in the SEC?
Probably not.
I mean, probably throw it 100 yards too. Kill a bird while he's throwing it. But he's got some weapons. And Josh Heupel, despite the fact that Joe Milton was a massive disappointment for Tennessee last year, still put up some ridiculous numbers at times. Heupel can coach an offense that's very evident out of all the people that we've bought into with Tennessee over the last 20 years. I think Heupel is a legitimately fantastic offensive mind. They're going to go fast. He's got an arm. It just depends on whether or not that offensive line can keep, you know, the dirty Dallas Turner types off of him like they couldn't off of Joe Milton last season. And that defense is a little sketchy. Let me tell you, I was looking at their schedule real quick, Jacob. They've got an interesting schedule. The first 4 weeks of the season.
Tennessee.
Chattanooga W. Then they go on a neutral site game to Charlotte on a Saturday night against NC State. That's a salty team. That'll be a tough game for Tennessee. Then they get Kent State and then go to Oklahoma. If they can get out of that 4-0, they should be undefeated hosting Alabama on October 19th with Arkansas and Florida afterwards. You know my thoughts on Arkansas, and that's at Arkansas. That's a W. And then hosting Florida, who at that point –
who knows what they're going
to
be.
Yeah, I mean, if Tennessee can, yeah, go on the road to open up SEC play at Oklahoma, that's tough. But, hey, on the flip side, though, good for Oklahoma. That's a great opening. I assume that's right. Their opening SEC game, too.
I believe it is, and it's the week before they come to Auburn. So,
love it.
That sets up well for the Tigers. But there's an opportunity there. I think Tennessee will be favored or be 50-50 against NC State and Oklahoma, which are games they can win, and they're going to need to win them because if not, they get behind the eight ball early.
I have Nico at 8. You had him at 7, but who do you have at number 8 in your SEC quarterback?
Yeah, rankings? That was Peyton Thorne. Who do you have at 7?
Oh, I have Garrett Nussmeier from LSU at number 7. Garrett Nussmeier is a guy that I put him in the game manager category, right? And there's some people that aren't giving him a ton of love, but I just think he's a solid quarterback. I don't think he's going to go out and just light it up and win you a bunch of games, but I don't think he's going to lose you a bunch of games either. I think he is he gives off the Greg McElroy, AJ McCarron type of vibe where you trust him if you're Brian Kelly as your starting quarterback, and he's got a bunch of new guys on the outside, a bunch of young studs that he's going to be playing with this year, and so I just think that Nussmeier's solid. Again, he's not going to win you games more times than not, but he's not going to have those 5 interception, just brutal games either. So, yeah, give me Garrett Nussmeier. I'll put him at number 7. He's above average in the SEC. I'll put Garrett Nussmeier from LSU at number 7.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the number 7 rankings where everybody just about has LSU preseason in the SEC. So that kind of makes sense. I am Olivia right there at number 7. Moving on to number 6, you're not going to like this pick, but He's way, way better than you gave him credit for earlier. Graham Mertz at Florida. Last season, Jacob.
Boo!
Last season, 73%, 2,900 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. That's pretty good numbers for a guy that transferred in from Wisconsin. He'll be back for another season. That means he's through a spring practice and another summer practice. I know that Florida's schedule is absolutely probably the most brutal in college football this season, but the guy can play. I mean, those are some fantastic stats. He does lose some weapons on the outside. Billy Napier is a good recruiter for now. There is a little bit more talent down there than people are giving Florida credit for. I'm interested to see how he does this season, but I'll take Graham Mertz as my number 6 quarterback in the SEC.
Do you think Graham Mertz can beat Miami week 1?
Yes.
Do you think he can beat Texas A&M week 3 inside of the Swamp?
Yes.
Do you think he goes on the road to Tennessee and beats the Vols? Do you think they can go to Georgia and beat the Dogs?
No.
Can they go to Texas and beat the Longhorns?
No.
Can they host LSU late in the year and beat them?
Yes.
Really? Okay. How about Ole Miss late in the year?
Oh, man. Are they hosting or on the road?
It's hosting November 23rd inside the Swamp.
Yes.
At Florida State.
That's a nail.
Wow. Okay. You've given them credit more than I am, man. I've got them losing to Miami. I've got them losing to A&M.
Where is that Miami game?
Neutral site. No, no. That is in Gainesville.
To open up the season.
Yes.
That is must-win game for Billy Napier. For his own sake, I hope he has had that thing circled all season. It will be make or break for their season week 1.
Because once they hit November after their bye week,
it's insane brutal.
I think they could lose out. I really do.
Oh, they could.
At Georgia, at Texas, LSU at home, Ole Miss at home, at Florida State.
Absolutely, they could go 0-5 there.
Wow.
But, you know, if they get off to a good start, you know, Miami's going to have a lot of question marks, and I know that Cam Ward was the hot-to-trot transfer quarterback that everybody wanted out of Washington State where he landed at Miami. But, Jacob, he's still new there. And Mario Cristobal hadn't exactly lit it on fire at Miami. I mean,
he's underperformed.
I don't even know if he has a winning record.
He's underperformed.
I'd have to go back and look at that.
I'm sure he does.
If he does, it's barely over 500. And Miami just has not been right for so long. This is a massive opportunity for Billy Napier to shut up all the haters.
Man, Florida, I know what they're trying to do here with this schedule. They gave themselves one gimme game, one cupcake. That's it. Samford, week 2. Nothing against Samford, but just for looking at the schedule.
On paper, for sure.
Because they play Miami, and they also play UCF. And then, of course, they play Florida State at the end of the year.
So the problem with playing UCF is that If you catch Gus Malzahn that one time or two times of the year where he's red hot, he's going to run you off the field. And that will be the Knights. Where is that game?
It's in the Swamp.
That will be the Central Knights.
Central Florida Golden Knights. Yeah.
That'll be the
I don't think they're the Golden Knights. I think they're just the Knights because the Golden Knights are the hockey team. I'm pretty sure they're just the Knights.
So the Knight, that will be Central Florida Super Bowl.
They are UCF Knights. Boom.
Yeah, so that is no gimme game, that's for sure. And look, that is an awful schedule. That is Murder's Row in the last five games, especially of the season. But Florida still has a good bit of talent, and I think Graham Mertz can if he can have the type of stats that he had last season, this season they'll be a little bit better team and have a couple W's that people don't expect.
And you put him at sixth in the SEC?
Yes, I'd take him right now over Peyton Thorne.
I have Connor Wegman from Texas A&M at number six in my SEC quarterback rankings. Look, Connor Wegman, you brought up the health factor, and that's absolutely true. It is. That is something that you have to be concerned about, but he's legitimately getting first-round draft pick buzz right now in 2025. I mean, it's a guy that you have to respect because when he's on,
so did Mac
he's
Jones.
On. Wow. I mean, that... no response.
K-Bag just texted in.
What's up, K-Bag?
Crusta ball, 12-13 at Miami, 74-73 total at Oregon. Overrated.
Not crusta ball. That's
Mario crusta ball.
Good to hear from you, K-Bag. Hope you're doing well out there, my man. Look, Connor Wegman, if he's healthy and he's on, he's one of the best in the SEC. Plain and simple. I'll put him at number six just because I can't fully trust his health is going to hold, but I think he is one of the best in the SEC. Yeah,
if he holds up and they can keep players off of him, they can get past Notre Dame week one, which is a winnable game at home. I could see him stepping into the upper half of quarterbacks in the league. I do think that Mike Elko long-term is going to be a very sound coach at Texas A&M. But that whole program, not just their quarterback, I'm in see-it-to-believe-it mode.
9-6 for me, Jackson Arnold at Oklahoma, Nico over at Tennessee, Garrett Nussmeier at LSU, number 7, and Connor Wegman, number 6 from Texas A&M.
I got Peyton Thorne at 8, Nico at 7, Graham Mertz at 6, and we'll move into the top 5 after this break.
That's right. 334-321-1390. Call in just a little bit. Still phone line shut down, but you can text us 334-784-1067. Want to get your SEC quarterback rankings as well. Top 5 coming from us after the break.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
The time has come, Uncle T-Bone. It's time for our top 5 SEC quarterback rankings going into 2024. We've gone through 16 all the way through 6, and time to give our top 5. We were talking about it during the break. You and I have not looked at each other's list, but
right.
By process of elimination, we have the same top 5 quarterbacks. They might just be in a little bit of a different order. And
agreed.
Really, when you look at the SEC this season, I just feel that it's almost impossible for people to not have the same top 5 players because I truly do feel that there is a massive gap between the 6th spot and the rest of the top 5. And,
yeah, I agree with that.
And I just feel that that's pretty clear and evident going into this season.
Yeah, I mean, just like the teams, I think the top 3 teams in the league heading into the season, in any order, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, I think there's a gap between them and the next two. And it's not a big gap, but there's a gap between those three and Ole Miss and Missouri. And then I think there's a very sizable gap between 5 and the rest of the league. I feel like the same hold true for the quarterbacks, but I really do believe that any of these top 5 quarterbacks that we're about to list off were on any of the top 3 teams, that those teams could still interchange that quarterback and make the college football playoffs.
Who do you have at number 5, sir?
I'm going to take Brady Cook from Missouri.
I do too. I have Brady Cook at number 5.
Last season, threw for over 3,300 yards, 21 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. A very underrated runner, does not get the athleticism credit that he deserves. 319 yards rushing last season. 8 rushing touchdowns, accounted for almost 30 touchdowns last season for Mizzou. He gets Luther Burden back. Some people are saying are a dark horse Heisman candidate. I don't know if I believe that, but he is one heck of a wide receiver. They did lose running back and runner-up Doak Walker Award winner Cody Schrader. But Mizzou's got this cupcake schedule of almost all cupcake schedules, not named Ole Miss schedule. And legitimately, it should be undefeated when Auburn goes up there on October 19th. And on paper, really should be undefeated until they travel to Tuscaloosa on October 26th, where they get a bye week up. No, they do not get a bye week before that game against Alabama.
Well, I have Brady Cook at 5-2, and I just pulled up the latest Heisman Trophy odds, and I'm kind of shocked because Brady Cook is nowhere in the top 10, according to ESPN Bet. This article came out this morning. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Yeah, Brady Cook's not in the top 10 of the Heisman Trophy odds, which I find a little odd because other quarterbacks we've already talked about, Uncle T-Bone, are in that top 10. Nico from Tennessee, Nussmeier from LSU, Wegman from A&M. Yeah,
I wouldn't have any of them on my Heisman list.
I wouldn't have them in my top 10. No way. And Brady Cook is not in that top Heisman Trophy odds from ESPN Bet as of today. That blows my mind. That really, really does. Look, I have Brady Cook at number 5. And a year ago, when we did our quarterback, or when I did my quarterback rankings on this show, right before you joined us here, I had Brady Cook, not anything crazy, but I'm pretty sure I had him inside the top 10. And people were dragging me. They were going me crazy. They couldn't believe that I was giving Brady Cook any type of respect. And by no means did I believe he was going to become what he became. I'm not trying to get credit for that. But Brady Cook's a good quarterback, man. And Missouri's got some really good players. And you mentioned the fact that Luther Burden, one of the best receivers in the country, All-American guy, is coming back. He's going to be at SEC Media Days next week alongside Brady Cook. Mm-hmm. Those two are going to be some of the best dynamic duo in the SEC. So, yeah, Brady Cook's a top 5 quarterback in the SEC. If it's possible, I'd love to see him take that next step. Not against Auburn, but against any other team this year. Because if he does take that next step, he will be a dark horse Heisman candidate. Brady Cook and Luther Burden could be that. And with that schedule you talked about for Missouri, anything is possible for the Tigers there in Como this season.
Yeah, and I think he'll have an opportunity to take that next step, like you're saying. I mean, hosting Buffalo.
Boo.
Hosting Boston College.
Boo.
Hosting Vandy.
Boo.
Finally get a little bit of a test at Texas A&M. And
that'll be a good game.
That really could make the make or break. That's a game I could see Missouri going back to, a.k.a. the misery. Mm. I could see them, and not because I believe in Texas A&M, I could just really see them stubbing their toe.
Well, A&M's a tough place to play, man. They hold 100-something thousand people in there.
Fortunately for Mizzou, they'll catch them at 11 a.m. On the road, and then they go to some weird trip to UMass, which will just be a bloodletting.
I keep forgetting that game exists.
I just can't even believe that it does. But I'm with you, man. If they had a fantasy football for college football, taking Brady, you know, getting Luther Burden early as a wide receiver and then comboing him with his quarterback, Brady Cook, a little bit later would be a fantastic move. They're going to light it up this year.
We both have Brady Cook at number 5 in our SEC quarterback rankings for 2024. Again, you could text us 334-784-1067, get your quarterback rankings, or if you agree, disagree, who's too high and who's too low. At number 4, I have Jackson Dart from Ole Miss. I have Jackson Dart at Ole Miss at number 4, and the reason I have him 4 and not higher is I need Jackson Dart to take that one last step. Can he get Ole Miss to the promised land? And look, this is the year to do it. They have a ton of talent. They've got one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC, and you have an expanded college football playoff. If Lane Kiffin's going to do it at Ole Miss, this is the year to do it. And I do want to say, side note, I did see the news of the passing of Lane's father, a legendary coach in the game of college football. So thoughts go out to the Kiffin family. But back to the quarterback rankings. Look, Jackson Dart's phenomenal. I mean, this dude If Auburn had a Jackson Dart starting this season, the sky would be the limit. But Auburn doesn't have Jackson Dart. Ole Miss does. He can pass. He can run. He can manage. He can do it all. And I think he could be... He already is one of the best in the SEC, but I think there's a couple of guys that have proven they can win and get it done at the highest level more than he has, so I have Jackson Dart at number four.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin's father, Monty Kiffin, dying at 84 years old, the inventor of the old Tampa 2 defense.
Yeah.
Really not an antidote to the spread, but thank you for your contributions.
Yeah.
What a heck of a defense that was for a long time. At number four, I really struggled with this pick between Jackson Dart and this person I put at four. I've got Jalen Milroe.
Okay, well, I put Jalen Milroe at three.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I think that they're so close there. Milroe's an SEC championship quarterback. Milroe is maybe the best athlete in college football all around. He is a linebacker slash power running back with one of the biggest arms in college football. Mm-hmm. The guy makes key plays at times, i.e. the Iron Bowl last season with one heck of a howitzer he threw in there for that touchdown to Isaiah Bond. He throws the prettiest deep ball, I believe, in college football. And I've been saying that for a while. When Alabama would get in trouble last year, here comes the Jalen Milroe bomb. And it almost always connected. The problem with Milroe is there's just a half a second too long sometimes that he holds on to the ball. That offensive line, despite all the hype that it got, is getting this season. And a lot of those guys are back from last year. Did not pass block very well last year. Teams like Arkansas were lighting Jalen Milroe up. He does not handle the pressure very well. Auburn put a pile of pressure on him in the Iron Bowl last season. He fumbled the ball around. He stumbled the ball around. Sometimes he makes poor decisions. You got a new coach, and I know Michael Penix Jr. and what Kalen DeBoer did there. That is not apples to apples. That is apples to oranges. I have not and yet seen Jalen Milroe show me every pass that you have to make and spin it like Michael Penix Jr. did last year for Washington. His short passes are brutal.
Well, I put Jalen Milroe at three. Jackson Dart at four, Milroe at three, because I think Milroe's ceiling is a little bit higher because of the playmaking ability without his arm, or I guess with his legs before he uses his arm. I mean, that's when Alabama was at their best, was Milroe scrambling because he did it so much because the offensive line was putrid.
It was horrible.
And he'd just run out, make a play. I mean, it was Jalen Hurts style. Maybe not, he's not as big, but he would just scramble out and make a run or make a throw, make a play, and he just kept the drive alive.
Yeah, he may not be as big as Jalen Hurts, but he's as powerful a runner as he is. 530 yards rushing last year. 12 touchdowns on the ground. Is that really Kalen DeBoer style, though? Do you remember Michael Penix Jr. being some big-time runner last season?
He would when he needed to, but they also didn't want Michael Penix Jr. getting hurt.
Good point. And Milroe is an excellent, excellent player. I believe he will play in the NFL doing something. But, you know, I still have got some question marks, and I'm not the only one. Alabama fans have plenty of question marks about his decision-making ability as well.
We'll talk about that, plus give our final two SEC quarterback rankings and do it in review. We're opening up the phone lines. Give us a call, 334-321-1390.
The Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Want to remind you that hour number two each and every day here during On the Line is brought to you by our friends over at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika. And they can better serve you. Find them online at theorthoclinic.com. We appreciate them bringing the second hour and presenting the second hour of the show each and every day, 3 to 4 o'clock right here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Well, we're down to our final two.
Hold on. Yeah, Jacob, sorry to interrupt. I did have Jackson Dart at three, so I never did say that.
Oh, my bad. I thought you did. Apologies on that.
And listen, I really struggle with that pick. The only... I think he's a heck of a player. Ole Miss schedule is absolutely pathetic. And we'll get these top two here shortly. And he's going to light it up. But golly, I just always feel like at any moment some of the play calling that Lane Kiffin has for his quarterbacks is going to get him killed.
Well, Ole Miss is one of those teams that benefited from the SEC West and East no longer existing. I mean, they lost Auburn and Alabama off their schedule this year.
They are going to get into the college football playoffs if Jackson Dart stays healthy, strictly because they're not playing Alabama anymore, and Daddy Saban's gone, and Lane couldn't beat him.
Yeah, literally. He could not beat him. Couldn't do it. Okay, so apologies on that. You had Jackson Dart at three.
Mm-hmm.
Top two. Here we go. It's plain and simple. Who do you have at number two and number one?
I'm going to take Quinn Ewers at two. I would have him number one, except for he does have some injury issues. I think Steve Sarkisian's the number one offensive mind in college football. In fact, probably one of the top 10 in all of football. I think the guy could be an NFL coach one day. He's that talented. Former quarterback from BYU, his quarterbacks perform. His offense is fantastic. He has put weapons around any quarterback that will be at Texas, okay, every single year. Went to the transfer portal this year to alleviate some of the pain of losing Xavier Worthy and other wide receivers and getting Isaiah Baum, getting the nickel. It was a nickelback. Is what I like to call him from from the tight end, the former tight end from Alabama. I can't remember his name. They got Archie Manning waiting in the wings. This guy's good enough to keep Archie Manning on the bench. Player.
So you have Quinn Ewers at two, and you have Carson Beck at one, huh?
Yep, 3,500 yards last year for Ewers, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Took his team and rolled up into Tuscaloosa last year in week two and basically was the beginning of the end of Nick Saban's career at Alabama.
I also have Quinn Ewers at two and Carson Beck at one, and it comes down to two simple factors, Uncle T-Bone. It comes down to the fact that, A, Carson Beck is a proven winner. Carson Beck is a champion. Carson Beck is a guy that has proven it time and time again, and he's going to have the best staff around him and the best weapons around him in college football, and he's got right now the best head coach in terms of football, Kirby Smart, in Georgia. So that's why he's the best quarterback. He's the most experienced returning guy that anybody's going to have. The other factor is, I put Quinn Ewers at two and not at one because this isn't the Big 12. This is the SEC, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Quinn Ewers isn't going to adjust to the SEC. He will. But I do think there will be some growing pains. There will be a game or two where we go, okay, Texas is in the SEC. It's going to be a couple of reality checks is what I'm saying for the Longhorns. And that's not even at the quarterback spot. That's just across the board, Uncle T. That's a take that I'm going to have. Now, will they lose any of those games? I don't know. Maybe or maybe not. But there will be that time where we look at it and say, ah, they are in the SEC now. This isn't Texas Tech. This isn't TCU. This isn't Baylor. This is Georgia. This is, you know, this is it's Florida, like, or Texas A&M.
Yeah, it's not like Texas has been just gone 50-0 every year for the last 5 years or 4 years in the Big 12. I mean, there's been weeks where they struggled in that league.
Yeah, they've had slip-ups in the Big 12.
Begged their way, I believe, past Kansas State last year, lost to Oklahoma, who's coming with them to the SEC. So it's not that they haven't had a cakewalk, and they have just kind of gotten to the point where you can put them in championship contender talk every single season. And Quinn Ewers has been a big part of that, though. He's a baller. But I'm with you. I mean, the schedule's going to be much more difficult for them. They lose Bo Davis to LSU, the defensive line coach, who's the all-world recruiter. That's going to hurt. I really have to wonder if their defense is going to be even near the caliber week in, week out in this league as they were in the Big 12. And I know there's some hot shot offenses in the Big 12, but the physicality doesn't compare to the SEC.
True. I'm with you on that. And here's the thing, though. Texas's schedule isn't all that bad.
They got a great draw this year.
Is it fair to say, you can pull up Georgia's schedule right now, we can compare. Is Georgia's schedule harder than Texas?
Yes. Yes. Georgia's got five teams legitimately on their schedule that could make the college football playoff, and Georgia has to go to Alabama and Texas.
Texas has one. I think Texas has one team on their schedule that could legitimately make it to the college football playoff, and it's Georgia.
And they host them.
They do, yes. That game is in Texas.
Texas
in
doesn't play LSU this year?
Nope.
They dodge LSU. They dodge Alabama.
Their second hardest game in the SEC is either Oklahoma or Texas A&M, whichever one you think is better.
I mean, on paper, you'd have to say Oklahoma, especially since they beat them last season. But that game at the end of the season will be at Kyle Field, right, in College Station. And
yes.
That place, no matter what their record, they'll be out for blood.
So I'll say that game's the second hardest just because
probably
it's in Kyle Field. But, yeah, I mean, dude, Texas's schedule's a joke. Now, I am excited for them to go and play at Michigan week two, but that's a different Michigan team. Harbaugh ain't there. They took everybody. They're gone, right?
I'm with you on that. And listen, don't sleep on week one. I think that, you know, I've got Michigan number one in my preseason poll because that's how I roll. I let them know that until the champion is taken off the top of the hill, they're still the champion and they deserve that respect. Week two, I think they'll definitely not be number one anymore in my poll. But Michigan folks better watch out for week one when they host salty Fresno State. That is no joke of a team.
Well, Texas has to host Colorado State at Michigan, and then they host UTSA. I don't want to mess with all UTSA.
The Roadrunners
are
tough. Yeah,
the Roadrunners, man. Miss me with that. I don't want any problem. I don't want any part of that. But
that's pretty sad that those three games may be – golly, I hate to say this. I cannot believe I'm going to say that. Maybe one of the toughest stretches on their schedule, and they're entering the SEC.
Here's their SEC schedule quickly for Texas: home against Mississippi State. So They don't even have to go on the road to open up SEC play. They get to host Mississippi State, who they'll beat by 20. All right,
they'll beat by 40.
Hosting Mississippi State, Oklahoma neutral site.
Win.
Home against Georgia.
Ooh, 50-50.
I'll give Georgia. Ooh, it is at home.
That'll be a night game in Austin. That'll be ABC.
It's a flex time.
The entire
free
world will be watching that game.
Ain't no doubt.
That's where Texas and Steve Sarkisian are looking to make a statement, just like they did last year, rolling up into Tuscaloosa at night.
Absolutely. This time they'll have the SEC on their chest, and this will be the game where they walk in and say, yeah, daddy's home. That's what they're going to say.
That's a 50-50 game.
I agree. I 100% agree on that. But we'll say they're 2-1, okay?
Okay.
At Vanderbilt. Their first SEC road game is in Nashville. Give me a break, man.
That's pathetic.
Give me a break. Then they host Florida November 9th. Who knows what Florida's going to be at that point? And it's in Austin, so that'll be a bloodbath.
W.
At Arkansas.
Big time W.
Home versus Kentucky.
W.
And then at Texas A&M.
And that's probably a W, too. I mean, that's one of the easier SEC schedules in the last 25 years of the league.
Really?
I mean, look at who they got. They got pathetic Arkansas. List me their road games again.
Their road games in the SEC are Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and Texas A&M.
And, you know, Texas A&M will definitely be tough. They'll beat Arkansas and Vanderbilt by a combined 62 points.
Write it down. Somebody take a bookmark
of that.
I mean,
it will just be a bludgeoning. That is a joke. Guy, if you're Oklahoma, you got to be just calling up Greg Sankey and saying, what in the world are you doing
to us?
That's
what I've said. What did we do to upset you, my man? Because
seriously,
they're totally opposite schedules. And so with that,
go ahead and pencil Texas into the college football
playoffs.
Well,
that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, what if Texas goes 6-2 in the 8-game conference schedule and they win all their other games, so they go 9-2? Is 9-2 good enough for Texas to get into the college football playoff with the weakness of their schedule?
Unless there were four other two-loss teams that had a much, much more difficult road, and one of those losses for one of those teams was in the SEC championship, not named Texas.
Yeah, well, this gets me into a text that we got from John in Auburn a little bit ago. He asked the question about the Florida Gators, a team that we're not high on, but let's play on the other side of the what-if game. What if Florida does have a good season? Is 9-3 good enough for Florida to get into the college football playoff, given that they play one of the most difficult schedules in the country?
I'd have to see what the rest of the nation had done, but off the top of my head, I'd say no.
No? It would be really tough, man.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, both Ole Miss and Mizzou, I don't think we'll have more than two losses, okay? Between Alabama, Texas, and Georgia, there'll be two other teams with no more than two losses. There's four right there in the SEC. And one of those teams could have three and be the team that gets shot out of the SEC championship game. with a third loss.
Right.
So, honestly, unless Florida could slip into the SEC championship game with three losses somehow, maybe one SEC and two non-conference, and win the league, that's what it would take.
The problem is for Florida, they're three. Let's say they do go 9-3. Those three losses are more than likely Georgia, Texas, and Florida State, we'll say. Right. All three are probably playoff teams.
You're not getting in.
No. I don't think they'd let you in. I don't think they would. They're not going to let you in with three teams over you that have already beaten you. I just don't think they would do that. They don't want to see that is the problem. And I like that question from John. I just think
it's an interesting concept.
I just feel like Florida's in a lose-lose situation. Their schedule's so hard, they're not going to win out. They can't even go with one or two losses. But yet, even if they give them a little bit of grace, it's still not going to be enough.
The college football playoff for Florida this season would be a miracle.
to say the least.
And their fans should, and I know fans are fans, especially Florida fans, they've got very high expectations.
As they should.
Probably even more so than Auburn fans with the success they've had with Spurrier and Urban Meyer.
Well, that's the thing. They have the success to back it up.
So it's going to be if you look at that rationally, and fans have a problem doing that, you're hoping that Billy Napier is your coach next year. He's done enough with that brutal schedule to prove him that he's tough enough and a good enough coach to be able to keep his job. Because if he's not the coach next season, who is at Florida? And you talk about a revolving door continuing to revolve down there. It's been awful since Urban Meyer left.
I mean, it's the situation that we feared Auburn was going to be in, right? When Brian Harsin got fired. Heck, even when Gus Malzahn got let go, it was, man, who do we get?
Is it the situation that we're in?
What do you mean?
I mean, has it been a revolving door at Auburn?
Not yet, I don't think. I mean, I think if Hugh Freeze doesn't work out, then you start to really have it, because it'd be the same situation.
You got to unfortunately count Kevin Steele as a former head coach.
Shoot.
He did step in as an intern head coach once. Remember that?
I mean, yeah, so did Cadillac. Are you counting that,
so
too?
So you got to count that as well. Oh, I mean, that's the kind of disarray this program's been in, and that's what I'm talking about. And I'd even forgotten that both of those guys had been head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad it's been at Auburn. Not only you have one, but two intern head coaches in the last 5 years.
And again, it brings up – and that's, which is why I've continued to say, and I hate to put this amount of pressure on it,
sure,
but Hugh Freeze has to work.
If this doesn't work, you better watch out.
Auburn's in trouble. Florida is saying the same thing, but yet they're a year ahead. They're a year ahead. They've already seen it. They're like, oh, crap. If it doesn't work out with Billy Napier, we're in trouble.
And you got to think, if you just kind of look at it, at least by last year's recruiting and the transfer portal, which program's in better shape roster-wise?
I'm saying Auburn.
Me too.
I'm saying Auburn, which is crazy. It really is crazy.
I
think Auburn got lower than Florida did. But Auburn has made up more ground than Florida has.
No
question. Is that fair to say?
That's very fair to say, and it's fair to say that's how good a job so far, despite losing to New Mexico State and the embarrassment of the Music City Bowl, that Hugh Freeze has done for this program. That's how bad the program was. Those losses are signs of how bad it was, and there's still hope at Auburn. I'm not sure that Florida fan has any hope right now.
I don't know a ton of Florida fans, but if there are any listening, give us a call, 334-321-1390. We'd love to get your thoughts about what your feelings on the upcoming season. It's one of those situations in Gainesville where you almost feel hopeless. You feel helpless is what you feel like, because if it doesn't work out, you go through another coaching search. You go through losing half your roster again, half your recruits again. I mean, and in today's era, man, you'll have more kids leave than ever before, because there is some talent in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And other programs are going to come in, and they're going to pluck them out of there so quick, you won't even know they're gone.
The amount of NIL money that would be lost and wasted, and recruiting money, and the amount of time and the amount of money that would be lost to have to pay another buyout and then go out and make another hire. Realistically, who does Florida go out and get? I mean, quite honestly, if I'm then, I'm looking to the Northwest at Hugh Freeze, and I'm going to throw the bank at him.
I don't know, man.
Who are they going to go get? I mean, honestly, who would Florida right now circle as that guy who's going to bring them back? I mean, you saw how much struggle A&M had just to get Mike Elko.
That's a great point. Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, and there ain't, and we are, nobody's stupid. Mike Elko was not Texas A&M's first choice from Duke. Give me a break. So, and look, would you, and this is a crazy question.
You would have to back up the Brinks truck and go raid another program's coach.
Yeah.
Like Lane Kiffin.
You'd have to go, yeah. Or even, I mean, what about like a Dabo on his way out of Clemson or something just for one last hoorah?
That'd be a good get.
I mean, something like that. I don't know.
That would be a really good get for them. But, you know, it's a lot easier said than done in today's college football world.
No doubt about
it. Why in the world would you go to Florida from Clemson? I mean, seriously, when is Clemson going to get out of the ACC? It could be years from now. The road to glory and to success and further riches are far easier in Clemson, South Carolina than Gainesville, Florida right now.
Well, look, Florida, and we're going to get to break and wrap up the show after this, but Florida is one of the most difficult jobs in the country because it's easy because they have as much money, resources, facilities as you could ever want. But you said it already, their expectations are just about as high as anybody in Gainesville because of the history of their programs. And I'm not just talking about football. I said programs because of the historical success of the University of Florida Athletics. It's one of the most successful athletic departments in the country, which is why that is one of the hardest jobs in college football at the University of Florida, on top of the schedule never helping them out and the SEC being as good as it's ever been. So,
yeah, I got to wonder how good a shape their NIL really is right now.
Well,
I mean, they got a former big-time recruit suing them.
Yeah, I was about to say, they've got problems on paying NIL money that they can't, or promising NIL money that they can't pay. Great conversation, man. This has been a lot of fun. We got to get to our final break, though. We'll come back, wrap up the show, wrap up the week. Stay with us. We'll wrap up the Friday edition of On the Line after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Man, it's been a great show today. We have done our SEC quarterback rankings going in to 2024. A little bit of disparity between our two lists, Uncle T, but overall, there's just going to be some really good quarterbacks in the SEC this season.
You got to believe that someone in the top five is going to disappoint by the standards of being the top five quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
You got to believe, because it just doesn't always happen.
Brady Cook is going to be that quarterback. Just mark my words.
You got to believe that there's someone in the lower half who's going to be even worse than we gave them credit for being bad.
Graham Mertz.
And there's going to be, you got to believe there's going to be someone in the middle that really rises up this season into that top spot. And I think that could be Peyton Thorne. I really do believe that, not just because this is an Auburn show and I need Auburn listeners to continue to support us. Thank you for support. But I just think that Auburn has stabilized its program.
Sure.
And that's what we were talking about. I guess that's the most helpless feeling for Florida fans right now, Jacob, is there not only – was their program so unstable that they had to hire a new coach because of all kinds of circumstances? It could be the league getting tougher, Georgia continuing to punish them, problems with NIL money, whatever, schedule being about as hard as it gets in the history of college football, okay? Whatever, it's not stable.
Right.
And they're in, what, year three with him?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a few thoughts real quick. K-Bag texted me. He was trying to call during our top 16, couldn't get through. Just want you to chew on all of these. Maybe we'll talk about them when you get back from SEC Media Days. Here's K-Bag's top five. Carson Beck will be in New York for the Heisman Trophy. AU will be 5-0 going into Athens. Billy Napier won't see FSU. Kalen DeBoer gets his welcome to the SEC when Georgia beats him by 20. And Kansas plays for the Big 12 Championship. Some themes moving in. College football's almost here. Jacob, can you feel it?
Chew on that. Hey, we're going to be live from Dallas all next week, Monday through Thursday, 7 straight hours from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tune in all week long. It's brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Roots Real Estate, Wisdom Law Firm, State Farm Insurance Agent Callie Bryan Chaddock, and University Ace Hardware. Uncle T-Bone, I'll see you in a week, my man. Here we're heading to Dallas, Texas.
Safe travels, everybody, and y'all be careful out there, Jacob. Don't do anything I would not do.
That's right. We're back on Monday, 2 to 4, live from Dallas, Texas, from SEC Media Days. Until then, have a great weekend. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.